Blog Talk Radio.
You have just tuned in to the Watchman on the Wall radio broadcast with your host, Radio Shepherd. The Watchman on the Wall radio broadcast is a ministry of Love Remnant Tabernacle Church. Good morning to all of my precious brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. I hope and pray that you're doing well this Saturday morning, December 19th, 2015. We're in studio today. Why are we in studio today, you may ask? Well, does the devil take a vacation? Does the devil go on holiday? No, the devil doesn't go on holiday. The devil does not go on holiday. And it is for this reason, dear saints, it is for this reason that we are in studio and we are in the prayer closet and we are constantly staying before the Lord. I'm so glad you tuned in today. I am so glad. I can't tell you. My heart yearns to see the church coming together for prayer, to see the brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus coming before the Lord, seeking his face, humbling themselves. It's the only way that we're going to secure a turnaround. And boy, do we need a turnaround. Wouldn't you agree with me, dear saints, that we desperately need a turnaround? Doesn't your church need a turnaround? Doesn't your local community need a turnaround? Doesn't your state need a turnaround? Doesn't America need a turnaround? Doesn't the world need a turnaround? I suspect that the world does. As I look at the world, as I look at wars and rumors of wars, yes, Jesus said we would have wars and rumors of wars, but just because he prophesied that these things would come does not negate the fact that we ought to be praying. It's just like some people say, well, you know, if it's going to be like in the days of Noah, where Noah preached and only 8 souls got saved, and if only a few people are going to get saved, why do I need to preach? Well, you need to preach. You need to build the ark for the saving of your household. Just because, there's a low number getting saved doesn't mean you're going to stop preaching. Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and under his preaching ministry, people got saved. We leave the numbers up to God, but it's our obligation. If you're a preacher, preach. And if you're a believer, pray. And we must pray. Why we must pray? Because the world is in deep trouble. The world is in deep, 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 deep trouble. And I want to play some audio for you today. There's a gentleman by the name of Paul Harvey. And Paul Harvey prophesied. Now, he didn't go around calling himself a prophet. Paul Harvey didn't go around calling himself a prophet, yet he prophesied more accurately than most people who go around our churches today calling themselves a prophet. He certainly did. And I want to play for you something that Paul Harvey said. And he wrote this commentary. And he has a very iconic voice. And he wrote this commentary and then read this commentary and put it on radio. And the commentary was, "If I Were the Devil." If I were the devil. Now, you're asking yourself, Radio Shepherd, why are you even playing this today? Well, I'm playing this today because when you listen to Paul Harvey, he says the first thing that the devil will attack is the church. And one of the first things the devil will take out of the church is prayer. And if we don't have a praying church, then we have a useless church. It's like Jesus said when he said, if the salt loses its savor, what good is it? A church that doesn't pray, pastors who don't pray, leaders who don't pray, deacons who don't pray, members who don't pray, make up a saltless church. And we are supposed to be the salt of the earth. Now, before I play Paul Harvey's commentary, let me just read to you where we're going to be studying today. And remember, you have your outline, so you ought to have your outlines in front of you. And we're going to be looking at Isaiah chapter 62, verses 1 and 2. But it's the latter part of Isaiah 62, verse 2, that we want to focus on. But let me read to you Isaiah 62, verses 1 and 2. It says, "For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth." Now, this is what we looked at last week. "And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and the kings of the earth thy glory." We saw that last week. We considered that portion of the text last week. Today, we want to consider this. "But thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall declare." And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall declare. So, looking at your outline, let's consider the title of today's study. And the title of today's study is "A Revitalized Church Given a New Name to Commemorate Her Transformation." A revitalized church given a new name to commemorate her transformation. You know, the church, as I said last week, and I've been saying as we started this Watchmen on the Wall series, and we've been only looking at Isaiah chapter 62. But I said some weeks ago, and I've been saying every single week since, that the church is an intensive care unit. It's in the intensive care unit. Have you ever been to an ICU unit where you see just people laying there in bed? They don't talk. It looks like they're asleep. But really, they're on the edge of death. They're at death's door. And all you can hear is the little machines beeping. Have you ever seen those little machines with the little signals that they make? And you walk in and everything's very, very quiet. But everyone in the ICU unit is in intensive care. Why? Because they're at death's door. That's the church. And the only way the church is going to come out of ICU is if we start praying. The church is nearly dead. It is nearly dead. The church, the mighty church of the Lord is dead. Now, the apostate church Satan's church. Oh, it's alive. Oh, Satan's church is alive and well. Satan's church is having plays and dance and fabulous preaching, you know, the Satan's kind of preaching. And outstanding teaching, of course, Satan's kind of teaching. I mean, Satan's church has conferences, and it has everything to draw the crowds. Everything, 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 everything. The other day, someone sent me an email, and they showed me a clip from the Hillsong Church in Australia, and they were doing a Christmas cantata called Silent Night, and it was demonic. You had to see the women who were singing Silent Night, and they were shaking their bottoms, and they had outfits like if they were in the Roaring Twenties. And then after the women went off the stage, the men came on the stage, and all the men looked effeminate, and they were shaking their bottoms also, and shaking their hips, singing Silent Night to a Roaring Twenty kind of tempo. Oh, I'm telling you, and the place was packed. That church seats 20,000, and it was packed. You see, Satan's church is alive and well, but Christ's church is in ICU. And so now, when God's people go to pray, when the remnant goes to pray, like Jesus went to pray in front of Lazarus's tomb, when Jesus went to pray, now Lazarus was already dead. Now, we're not dead yet. We're almost there. We're at death's door. But Lazarus was already dead. Now, what did Jesus do before doing anything? He prayed. Then he said, Lazarus, come forth. The only way the church is going to come out of the ICU unit is if we first get to praying. Jesus taught us that if you want to revitalize something, if you want to resurrect something, if you want to start something, you go to prayer. Prayer, prayer, prayer. Now, a revitalized church is then given a new name to commemorate her transformation. Remember Abraham? Remember the patriarch Abraham when God called him out of Ur of the Chaldees? Remember how Abraham was in complete darkness? According to Joshua chapter 24, verses 1, 2, and 3, Abraham, his father, and Abraham's brothers were all caught up in idolatry. They were lost in complete darkness. They were spiritually dead. But Abraham heard the voice of God the same way Lazarus heard the voice of Jesus. And Abraham came forth. Now, when God first called Abraham, he wasn't called Abraham. He was called Abram. But now, to commemorate Abraham's transformation, to commemorate Abraham's revitalization, God changed his name from Abram to Abraham. Then, if you remember Jacob was a thief, a supplanter, a crook, a criminal, a pickpocket, a destiny stealer, a birthright stealer. Jacob was not the kind of man you ever wanted to hang around. And yet God on Jacob, and God worked on him, and it was at an all-night prayer meeting that Jacob wrestled with God in prayer. And after that wrestling, all night in prayer, God changed his name from Jacob to Israel. Now, remember Saul of Tarsus? How Saul of Tarsus was in darkness? How Saul of Tarsus was a pawn of the devil? How Saul of Tarsus was being used by Satan to persecute the church? Remember Saul of Tarsus? And how Jesus met him on the road to Damascus? Now, didn't Jesus change his name from Saul to Paul? You see, every time the church undergoes a transformation, every time something is revitalized, something is resurrected by means of prayer, it receives a new name to commemorate its what? Transformation. So here the Lord says, or rather here the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 62 verse 2, and the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness and the kings thy glory. Here Isaiah is praying for the Gentiles to see the righteousness of the church and for the kings to see the glory of the church, meaning that the church has undergone a revitalization. The church has undergone a transformation. Now, as a result of that transformation, as a result of God resurrecting the church and giving life back to the church, because it had people who prayed for this church in the ICU unit, church was revitalized, and then God says, and thou shalt be called by a new name, the same way Abraham got a new name, the same way Jacob got a new name, and the same way Saul of Tarsus got a new name. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall declare. Now, having said that, let me play the little clip for you from Paul Harvey. I want you to hear this, because, saints, this was prophesied in 1965. Now, that was 50 years ago. That was 50 years ago that Paul Harvey wrote this and then went on radio and spoke it. And only 50 years later, we can see how the church is at the brink of death, and as a result, the United States is at the brink of disaster, and how the world is on the brink of receiving the Antichrist. Let's listen to this very prophetic message. And again, I would rather listen to Paul Harvey's prophecies any day than to listen to the clowns in the church who call themselves prophets and prophetess. Here is Mr. Paul Harvey. Take this message to heart. It is very, very powerful. Very powerful. It's called, If I Were the Devil.
If I were the devil, if I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, Our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
Now, saints, isn't that what's happening to America as we speak? Isn't all that he said true? Aren't there metal detectors in our schools? Aren't there metal detectors in our schools? Saints, I mean, come on. Isn't there gambling in every state? And I mean, it wasn't enough that states started with the lottery. Now each state has casinos. And aren't they now selling medicinal marijuana? Aren't states collecting great taxes, amount of taxes? Because states are now going into selling, states are getting taxes by selling marijuana, medical marijuana. And there's all kinds of shops opening up all over this country selling marijuana. There's all kinds of casinos opening up in this country everywhere. I mean, everywhere. How about the schools? Metal detectors. How about the churches? How about what he said about pastors with little boys, pastors with young girls, pastors stealing the money? Did you hear that? Did you hear about America? Do you need to hear it again? Let me play this for you again. Let me just play this for you again in case you missed it the first time. And in the midst of all of this, what is the church? Where is the church? Well, the true church is in ICU. And in its place, the devil has raised up an apostate church with apostate bishops leading the church into great apostasy. Listen to Paul Harvey again. If I were the devil, this was recorded and put on radio in 1965. You talk about an epidemic of drugs. How many people in America are hooked on prescription drugs? Listen to this. How about pornography? How about judges? He said judges promoting pornography. Well, I can give you audio where there is a pastor in Florida where she and her husband are promoting, are telling the church members, especially the women, to watch pornography in order to find out what your husband's like in bed. This is not about judges promoting pornography. Now it's gotten worse. We have pastors promoting pornography, so that women can understand what their men, what their husbands like in bed. Listen to Paul Harvey. If I were the devil. It's coming on shortly, saints. Here it is, one more time.
If I were the devil, if I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about, however necessary, to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first.
Now, how has the devil taken over the United States? Well, he's taken over the United States by taking over the churches. Because we're supposed to pray for all those in authority. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. So the devil wants to knock out America. He wants to knock down this country. And the way he starts is by first damaging and leavening and corrupting the church. If the church doesn't pray, he's got America. Church stops praying for its president, for its senators, for its Congress. Then they all become corrupt. Here it is again.
So I set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first.
What would the devil do? Subvert the churches first. Now, how has he subvert the church? Well, first, the devil set up so-called Christian television networks. TBN, Daystar, the Word Network, God TV, the Impact Network. None of those networks preach the gospel. They all preach prosperity. None of them preach the gospel. They preach Satan's gospel, the gospel of prosperity. And so that has infiltrated the church. And now the church, instead of praying for its daily bread, sows for its daily bread. Now everything has become sowing now. The devil has subverted the church. And he did so first.
It began with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please.
Do as you please. You see, that's what's going on in the church today. Do as you please. Do as you please. As it says in the book of Judges, there was no king in Israel during that time, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Do as you please.
To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington.
The government has become people's God. The government. Everybody today in America, well, not everybody, but a great many people don't want to work, don't want to earn their keep. Don't want to earn the daily bread by the sweat of their brow. A great many in America are addicted to handouts. Handouts. Our Father, which art in Washington, instead of our Father, which art in heaven.
And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills.
Isn't that what we have now? Don't we have an epidemic of people hooked on prescription drugs? If a kid has ADD, don't we give that kid 5, 6, 7 drugs to calm him down? Isn't that what the teachers now, they have a classroom full of hyper kids? And what do they do to those hyper kids? Just give them drugs. Just give them drugs. Just give them drugs.
If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who want it until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. because I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
And there you have it, saints. And this is why we, the remnant, have to pray. And we, for Zion's sake, will not hold our peace. And for Jerusalem's sake, we will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth, so that the Gentiles can see thy righteousness, and the kings of the earth thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name. Why shalt thou be called by a new name? Because God will call us out of ICU. God will resurrect the church. God will revitalize the church. And every time there's a revitalization, every time there's a transformation, the Bible speaks of God giving people and entities a new name to commemorate the change. Saints, we're in the last days, and we need to pull the church out of ICU. But it's not going to happen via entertainment. It's not going to happen with conferences. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen with dinners and banquets. It can only happen as we pray and seek the Lord and tarry until the church is given life again. Well, saints, that'll do it for us today. Don't forget to tune in next week. I will have another episode, another broadcast for you on The Watchman on the Wall. God bless you. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow to the Inspirational Psalmist. I love you in the Lord. Stay safe in Jesus. God bless.
The battle strikes.